I want to pick up where I started last week, and this will be the last message on Hebrews 11 and verse 8. And I mentioned to you that this is always the time of the year where preachers wax eloquent with all these fancy New Year titled messages. I wrote down a few of them that I saw online. One of them preached a message, New Year's Revelation. Okay, and it had the same points as the previous year's message, but just had a different title. What's your vision? A renewed ear instead of renewed year. That's pretty catchy. New year, new hope. How can you make 2022 unlike 2021? And then recipe for a happy new year. So there are all these fancy titles. There are literally thousands of them that are online. You can see the ones that were preached recently in past years and so forth like that. But I mentioned last week that as Christians, we need to avoid the standard cultural response. Okay, new year, new resolutions. All right. Can you remember the resolutions you made last January? No. Most of us cannot. And most of us are in denial anyway. Because after we failed on January the 5th, to keep our New Year's resolution, we said, oh, I don't need to worry about that. I look pretty trim. What do I need to be working out for? I can save that money and put it in a savings bond that I would be using for that. And we start making all these excuses, and then we go right back to the same way we were doing it. Now, wouldn't it be much better if we lived the same way every day of every year in accordance with God's Word? Wouldn't that make better sense? Then we're always not doing the reset on January the 1st. What's magical about January the 1st? Anybody know anything that's magical about that? I don't know a thing. It's never been magic in my life. It's a holiday, okay? That's the magical nature of it. All right. But as far as helping you in the new year, what does January the 1st do for you? In most people's minds, oh, new year, reset. But we reset to what we did last year and the year before that. So to me, it makes better sense to allow the Bible to do its work in our hearts and lives so we live consistently every day, every year, for Jesus Christ. It just makes absolute sense to me. And I brought this out last week, and I want to just go a little bit further with it. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, the great hall of faith follows in chapter 12. But also here in this particular chapter, we have Abel, we have Enoch, and we have Noah, we have Abraham, Moses, Sarah. Go down the list of all the names that we're very familiar with. But Abraham stands out here in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, say the next word. He obeyed. He obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, some people would say, whoa, wait a minute. That's not a recipe for a happy new year. He has no idea where he's going. Let me ask you something. Do you have any idea what's going to happen tomorrow? No, you don't. Now, you might think, well, I'm going to go over to Kohl's and I'm going to take advantage of a sale that they've got over there. Well, you might find out different. You might get over there and realize that your coupon is out of date. How many of you that's happened to? How many of you have pleaded and begged with the person at the register, would you please give me the coupon? I didn't realize that it said 2012 and not 2022. You've been sitting on this thing for 10 years? Well, I thought it might come in handy someday. It's kind of like how we view our storage sheds. Okay, how many of you cleaned it out for the new year? Anybody? Okay. Not very many people are raising their hands. Maybe you keep a very neat shed, all right? But if you're like me, it becomes the place you open the door, push it inside, close the door, walk back into the house. Well, you know, there's times you have to go in there and you got to get the broom out, you got to get the blower out, you got to get the exterminator out to take care of creatures that have taken up residence in your shed. You have to do some cleaning, and that's a good thing. Maybe you can set the new year as a time to clean your shed out, clean your garage out. That's fine. But your life shouldn't be that way. Really? It shouldn't be that way. Your life should not be like a garage that once a year you come to and say, oh, I got to clean it out. Why isn't it clean today? Why isn't it clean yesterday? We view life through a cultural lens because this is how everybody else views it. But that's not biblical. Abraham was called of God. I want you to gather your family together. I want you to leave your family, your kindred, your land, and I want you to move over here to this new place. God, is there any more details? No, just go. That was it. And he went not knowing whither he went. But that key word that I mentioned last week is here. And it's the key to Christian living. It's the word obey. Now, obey implies something. To obey implies that there's someone greater than me. Amen? There's someone greater than me who's giving me a command. And here's where the rebel comes out. Here's where the rebel comes out. And this is why we have garage lives and shed lives instead of clean daily lives. We don't like that word obey. We don't like that word obey. Animals don't like that word. You say, let's go, kitty, into your room. Turn around, she walks the other way. Okay? To the nature of a cat. I'm not doing what you tell me to do. I don't know if my cat's smart enough to think that far ahead. She just does it. It's instinct for her to go the opposite direction. So I put my size 10 shoe out in her way. She recoils. Now that's her way of telling me, you've forgotten who's in charge around here? Moi? My cat knows French. Okay? It's not meow, it's moi. And I finally just go, poof. She starts making her way and she gets on her pillow. She goes round and round and sits down. Yeah. And by the way, that's all I just described a lot of Christians. God says, I want you to go this direction. No, thank you. I like where I'm at.
I'm like where I'm at. I'm not changing. I'm not doing this. God has given us literally thousands of commands in this book. Some people are waiting for God to divinely tell them to go in this certain direction because that's the way they really want to go. And there's thousands of commands that are being ignored. There are parents ignoring God's command about rearing their children because they don't like what the Bible says. I'm going to do it a different way. All right? You do it a different way. What have you just taught your children?
What have you just taught your children? You don't do it the Bible way. You just taught your children it's okay to disobey God's word. And what have I just done? I haven't lived by faith. I'm living by my own principles. Abraham was told of God, you go here, and Abraham did what? Obeyed. Do you realize the spiritual teachings we're giving to our kids by what we ignore in this book? You're teaching your children, you don't have to obey the Bible in all areas. You can pick and choose. Salad bar Christianity, here we come. The Bible is not Ruby Tuesdays. How many of you like the salad bar down there? I love Ruby Tuesday's salad bar. Okay, lots of things. Now, there's some things I don't particularly like. When I go to the beach, see the beets sitting over there, it's always full. It's overflowing. But I walk by the beets. And I walk by the peas that are always overflowing. All the good stuff, you have to look way down inside
to scrape up the little bit that's left there because everybody else likes that. And that's how people approach this book. How did Abraham respond to God's command? This was not an easy command. Have you ever been uprooted and torn away from something that you've always known to go to something brand new that you don't know what's going to happen? Oh, this happens. This happens all the time. I've been reading a book about Oswald Chambers' wife. Her name was Gertrude. And Oswald Chambers gave his wife a nickname, BD, which was shortened to Biddy. And she was quite a woman. And I mentioned this last week. And one of the things that she had to do was trust God and trust her husband. She said, it was the hardest thing I ever did in my whole life. My husband came to me and said, God wants us in Egypt. And she looked at Oswald and said, excuse me? He wants us in Egypt? Yes. I believe God is calling us to minister the word of God to soldiers that are training in Egypt that are fighting in World War I. So he left, became a chaplain there, ministering to thousands of troops. It took her a while to be able to get passage. And guess what they faced on the open sea while they're traveling? It wasn't a trip on Disney Cruise Line, right? They were all required to take shifts as they traveled on the boat. Now, they're all hurling from seasickness, but they all were required to take shifts on board to look for what? U-boats. All the way from England, all the way down through the Strait of Gibraltar, all the way through the Mediterranean, and make it all the way to Cairo, Egypt. Several boats were sunk on that voyage, but they made it safely. On Oswald's route, there were two or three sinkings of ships, passenger sinking, killed everybody on board. And yet God preserved him, took him all the way to Cairo, only for him to die there a year and a half later. Now, we may look at that and say, well, he wasn't doing what God said to do. Now, that's the human viewpoint. We immediately go to that, don't we? We immediately go to that, oh, well, he died a year and a half in there. So obviously God didn't know. It's that obvious. Do you realize that Oswald Chambers spent countless hours outlining? He had a chalkboard inside of a tent, and he outlined his sermons for every three times a day, different groups of troops coming in, right? And he would have outlines, and his wife meticulously took the notes of those, and she wrote several books from all of his teachings and so forth that have been a blessing and a help to generations since 1916, 1917, when he passed away. Now, my point is this. God brought him across to Cairo. Later on, brought Gertrude and her daughter Kathleen, brought them over, dropped them off in Cairo, and they ministered the gospel in the worst possible conditions. Sandstorms, spiders that would come up out of the ground. They dealt with all kinds of things. She said it was a regular basis where I would swat and feel the spider just splatter all over me. That was everyday life. And then I remembered why I was there. I was there to assist my husband in ministering the gospel to troops. For 50 years, now listen to me, for 50 years, she got letters from troops that had sat under the teaching of Oswald Chambers and had been in their house, their little tent that they built, were in the house that just flowed through and heard the gospel preached to them. Many of them trusted Christ as their Savior, went back to the front line, survived World War I, and then came back and would write them letters, your husband preaching and teaching delivered me to Christ. In that short little window of time. Now, understand something. We don't know. He had no idea. Oswald Chambers, who wrote My Utmost for God's Highest, he had no idea that he would only survive a year and a half there. He didn't die of the flu, the worldwide pandemic. He died of appendicitis. That's pretty routine today, is it not? When was the last time you ever heard of somebody dying from a burst appendix? It just hardly ever happens anymore. But it happened to him. He was taken to a medic. They immediately operated, but it was too late. The damage had already been done, and he died the next day after an operation to try to save his life. He was 43 years of age. Now, some people say, oh, it's so bad. But God was working. God had a plan to further. We still are talking about Oswald Chambers 106 years after his death. Still talking about him. He had that kind of an impact, even though his life was short. I could go down the list of all kinds of people that we've known throughout history that lived very short lives. Robert Murray McShane, he's one of my heroes. Scottish preacher, died at age 29. In those 29 years, his sermons filled three volumes. He believed God was calling him to minister to Israel. So he told his church in Scotland, I'll be leaving to go on a trip to Palestine. Traveled there in the early 1800s, not exactly the most friendly time to be in the Middle East. But God preserved him, allowed him to start two churches in Palestine that lasted for 100 years. All the way up through World War I, almost to World War II, before they were destroyed by the Germans. Amazing. How God uses people. Sometimes we don't know what's in our futures. What's the operative word when God tells us to do something? He's given us thousands of commands in his book. Were you holy today? First Peter tells us, be ye holy for I am holy. Were you holy today? Well, I don't have time to think about that. You better make time. You ignore the commands and you don't obey, you just put yourself in harm's way. Y'all made a poem. Didn't even realize it. Yeah, you put yourself in harm's way. You've got the U-boats of Satan circling you, and you're bold enough to say, well, I don't have time to worry about holiness. Why did God take the time to put it in his book? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is, say it,
right.
Children, did you obey your parents? Do you obey your parents? Well, you don't understand. My parents are just so strict, and they're inconsistent. I love that one. Okay? You're supremely consistent, aren't you? I've had young people come in to my office, and they just bellyache about how inconsistent their parents are. And then I start asking them questions. And guess what it reveals? How inconsistent they are. I said, oh, you hold your parents to this standard over here, but you have a different standard for yourself. What does that make you? A hypocrite. Yeah. Yeah. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's God's way. What does it require? All the commands of God's word, what does it require? One word. Obedience. Well, we don't have time to go through all the commands of Scripture. Every page is full of some type of command. Sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes it's more involved. But the responsibility of the believer is to find out what God said and then obey it. You want to have a successful new year? It's wrapped up in one word. Obey God's word. I didn't say obey your opinion about God's word. Okay, we talked about that on Sunday. Your opinion doesn't really matter. Your opinion should never in your mind go to the level of higher than God's word. Your opinion is just that. It's an opinion. God's truth is not based upon opinion. God's truth is horizontally and vertically and horizontally accurate all the time. Can we say that about our opinions? Nope. I can have an absolutely wrong opinion about somebody that I'm thinking about. All right? I know why they went out and got that new truck. They're just trying to show off. Okay? Oh, the Holy God is before us. divining the purposes and reasons for why this individual went and bought a truck, right? Or a car, or a boat, or a plane. Why do we live on that level? That's not acceptable with God. With God, He wants me to live on a plane that continues to get higher and higher every day. We sing that song, do we not? I'm pressing on the upward way. What's the next word? New heights. You know what most Christians need to be singing? New lows I'm gaining every day. My opinion stinks. It's never right. And go on with the words. Yeah, we know. We know people, why they do things. We don't know Jack or Jill. Including the ladies in on that. We don't. We are so self-centered. And we need to become God-centered. God told Abraham, and Abraham obeyed God, not knowing whither he went. You can put out all the keys to success you want to. You can come up. The first one, John Maxwell. Know where you're going in 2022. Poor Abraham is already a failure. He should have listened to John Maxwell. Oh, wait a minute. Time difference there. What's wrong with that? You should know where you're going. Well, who's the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus. So I better get with Him. Amen? I better get with Him. You see, when most people say, know where you're going, in other words, I've got to sit down and I've got to write my plan. And I've got to craft my plan. And we put so much credence in our plan that we never check with God to see if it lines up with His Word. That's a problem. That's not obedience. That's opinion. God didn't call you to opinion. God's called each one of us to obedience. Now my responsibility is, what has God told me to do? My mom used to say that all the time. What did I tell you to do? Anybody ever hear that from your parents? What did I tell you to do? Kids get sidetracked. All right? On our calendar, and I'll close with this, we're going to go to prayer. We grew up with a calendar on our refrigerator. TRM. Todd, Roger, Missy. On T-Day, that meant I did the dishes and carried out the trash. On R-Day, I made fun of my brother. Okay. On M-Day, I made fun of my sister. And then it came back around to T-Day whenever I got dish gone. All right? On those days, we had the plan. Mom had laid it out. The way, the truth, and the life of what we were going to do. And I can remember as a kid walking up there, oh no, T again. Roger, I'll pay you to do my job. Roger was always the smartest kid. You know, and I could always get Missy to fill in for me, you know, like that. I said, I'll pay you. And you could wave a dollar at her and she, but anyway, Roger said, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think you've already paid Missy several things. I'm going to go tell Mom. It was all over with. The whole scheme came crashing down. The Ponzi scheme. Right? T-R-M. Listen. Stop trying to find the keys to success when the keys already been given to us. It's obey God's commands. You're spending all your time wanting fancy ideas and things you can do to make yourself better and things you can. Let me just get you back to the simple life. Find out which way God's going and do what? Go with Him. Dr. Bob Schuer used to say that, the old Methodist preacher, evangelist. He said, the wisdom of the ages is this. Find out which way God's going and go with Him. That's pretty simple. It's not complex. You don't have to have 10 steps to do this. You just have to do one. It's called bow the knee to God and obey His word. May God help us this year to not look for fancy gimmicks or interesting things that will make it more interesting. You know what's interesting? Is that Abraham was very happy to do what God wanted him to do. As a matter of fact, he took his nephew with him, Lot. That caused problems later on. But Abraham was trying to help him. Abraham was trying to help him. And he helped him several times, did he not? Trying to help that young man. Boy, the mistakes that he made. How would have Lot turned out if he had stayed back in the other land? He'd have been a pagan. He'd have been a pagan. But the Bible says that just Lot believed God. I think it was the influence of Abraham in his heart and life. Every time Lot looked at his uncle, he saw somebody that was obeying God. Obeying God. Who did Lot cry out to for help? Abraham. Why Abraham? Because Abraham was consistent. Same man every day. Just doing what God says to do. Well, that's pretty simplistic. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Simple. Obey God and keep His commandments. Isn't that what the book of Ecclesiastes says? Fear God and keep His commandments. Fear God and obey. That's the simplicity of the Christian life. Don't complicate it. Don't complicate it. Father in heaven, we thank you for your simple word. We pray that it might be a blessing and a challenge to your people, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.